What if the secret to transformation isn't massive action, but microscopic change?
James Clear's Atomic Habits, which has sold over 5 million copies worldwide and spent more than 90 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, dismantles everything you thought you knew about building better behaviors.
While most self-help gurus preach motivation, Clear reveals the counterintuitive truth: your environment and systems matter far more than willpower.
The man practices what he preaches. After a devastating baseball injury in college destroyed his athletic career, Clear rebuilt himself through the very principles he now teaches.
Within these pages lies a practical framework that treats habit building as a science rather than a mystical art.
You'll discover why missing a habit once doesn't matter, but twice creates a dangerous pattern, how identity-based habits outperform goal-based ones, and the surprising four-step process behind every successful behavior change.
This isn't just another productivity book. It's the operating system for remarkable transformation, one atomic change at a time.
Imagine this. The British cycling team was mediocre for decades until coach Dave Brailsford implemented a strategy he called the aggregation of marginal gains. Instead of seeking dramatic improvements, he focused on tiny 1% enhancements in everything from rider nutrition to pillow comfort. This approach transformed the team into world champions who dominated the Tour de France for years. This story perfectly illustrates the surprising power of small habits. While we often dismiss minor improvements as insignificant, they compound dramatically over time. A 1% daily improvement compounds to nearly 37 times better performance over a year, while a 1% decline leads to nearly zero. Like compound interest in finance, habits multiply your success or failure depending on their direction. These small choices may seem inconsequential in the moment. Missing one workout or eating one unhealthy meal appears harmless. But when we repeat these actions day after day, they accumulate into something significant, either positive growth or decline. The outcomes we experience today are the lagging indicators of habits formed earlier.
What's particularly fascinating is how invisible this process remains during what Clear calls the plateau of latent potential. Like water gradually heating before boiling, or bamboo growing underground for years before shooting skyward, meaningful change requires patience through periods where progress seems absent. Most people quit during this plateau, mistakenly believing their efforts are worthless. But those who persist eventually break through to dramatic improvement, often appearing to others as overnight successes, despite years of invisible foundation building. Remember, success comes from daily habits, not once-in-a-lifetime transformations. The quality of your life depends on the quality of your habits.
I need to lose 20 pounds, or I want to write a best-selling novel. These are goals, not systems. And while conventional wisdom celebrates goal setting, James Clear argues that this approach fundamentally misunderstands how lasting change occurs. Goals suffer from several critical flaws. First, winners and losers share the same goals. Every Olympic athlete wants a gold medal, but training systems determine who succeeds. Second, achieving a goal creates only temporary change. Clean your room once, and it will eventually become messy again without a system for maintaining order. Third, goals postpone happiness until achievement. I'll be happy when I reach my target weight, rather than finding satisfaction in the process. Most critically, goals create an either-or mentality. You either achieve them and consider yourself successful, or you fail and feel defeated. This binary thinking ignores the complex reality of personal growth and improvement. Systems, by contrast, focus on the processes that lead to results. A writer with a system sits down to write daily, regardless of inspiration. An entrepreneur with a system continuously tests small improvements to their business model. A fitness enthusiast with a system prioritizes regular exercise over specific weight targets.
Consider the difference between these approaches. I want to finish a marathon, goal, versus I'm going to become a runner, system. The first ends once accomplished, The second creates ongoing improvement and identity change. This doesn't mean goals are worthless. They provide direction, but systems provide progress. As Clear puts it, you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems.
Most people approach habit change backward. They focus on what they want to achieve rather than who they wish to become. This results-first approach explains why so many New Year's resolutions fail by February. They're not aligned with how we see ourselves. The most effective way to change your habits is to focus first on who you wish to become. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you believe you are. Each time you write a page, you're voting to become a writer. Each workout is a vote to become an athlete. These small votes accumulate to form your identity. This identity-first approach creates two powerful shifts. First, behavior that conflicts with your self-image feels wrong, making it easier to resist temptation. Second, habits become part of who you are rather than something you do, making them more likely to stick. To implement this approach, first, decide the type of person you want to be. Second, prove it to yourself with small wins. For example, if you want to become a healthy person, start by taking a 1-minute walk each day. This tiny action isn't about the physical benefit, but about establishing proof of your new identity. As these small wins accumulate, your identity solidifies, making future healthy choices more natural.
The beauty of this approach is that it works in both directions. Your habits shape your identity, and your identity shapes your habits. By focusing on becoming rather than achieving, you create lasting change that feels increasingly effortless over time.
Our brains form habits through a 4-step pattern: cue, craving, response, and reward. Understanding this loop allows us to design environments and routines that make good habits inevitable and bad habits impossible. The cue triggers your brain to initiate behavior by predicting a reward. The craving provides motivation and desire for the reward. The response is the actual habit or action you perform. The reward satisfies your craving and teaches your brain which actions to remember. Clear transforms these 4 stages into practical laws for creating good habits. 1. Make it obvious, cue. 2. Make it attractive, craving. 3. Make it easy, response. 4. Make it satisfying, reward. For breaking bad habits, simply invert these laws. 1. Make it invisible. 2. Make it unattractive. 3. Make it difficult. 4. Make it unsatisfying. These laws provide a simple but powerful framework for designing your environment and routines to support desired behaviors. For instance, if you want to read more, place books in visible locations around your home, make it obvious. Pair reading with a pleasant environment like a comfortable chair and good lighting, make it attractive. Start with just 10 pages a day, make it easy. Track your reading streak in a journal, make it satisfying. By systematically applying these laws, you can transform even the most challenging habits into automatic behaviors that require minimal willpower or motivation.
Your environment shapes your behavior far more than your willpower. Consider a hospital cafeteria study, where simply rearranging food displays, making water more visible than soda, and putting fruit at eye level dramatically changed eating habits without changing people's minds about nutrition. We respond to what's visible and accessible. This explains why we eat more from clear cookie jars than opaque ones, and why reducing screen time becomes easier when devices are stored out of sight. Each visual cue in your environment serves as a trigger for potential actions. To leverage this principle, create choice architecture that makes good habits obvious and bad habits invisible. Want to practice guitar more? Place the instrument in the middle of your living room. Trying to cut back on social media? Delete apps from your phone and access them only on your computer. Context itself becomes a powerful cue. Different environments activate different behavioral patterns, which is why people often drink more at bars than at home, and why changing locations can help break stubborn habits. This explains why vacation is an ideal time to establish new routines. You're temporarily free from environmental triggers that activate old patterns.
The most effective way to change your habits is to join a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. New college students who find friends who study regularly naturally study more themselves. Surround yourself with people already living the way you want to live. Remember, environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. Design your spaces to make good decisions easy and bad decisions hard.
Dopamine, often called the feel-good neurotransmitter, plays a surprising role in habit formation. While we commonly think it's released when we experience pleasure, research shows dopamine spikes in anticipation of rewards, not just during the reward itself. This explains why the anticipation of checking social media can be more compelling than the actual content we find there. This insight reveals why certain products and experiences become habit-forming. They create what scientists call supernormal stimuli, exaggerated versions of natural rewards that hijack our brain's reward system. Fast food with perfect combinations of fat, sugar, and salt trigger stronger responses than natural foods. Video games provide more immediate and consistent rewards than real-life achievements. To make good habits more attractive, use a strategy called temptation bundling, pairing something you need to do with something you want to do. For example, only watch your favorite show while exercising, or only visit your favorite coffee shop when working on important projects. Social norms also powerfully shape which habits we find attractive. We imitate the close, family and friends, the many, what's popular, the powerful, those with status. This explains why the most effective way to build new habits is to join a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. Want to read more? Join a book club. Want to exercise? Find workout partners.
You can also reframe your mindset about habits by highlighting their benefits rather than their drawbacks. Instead of thinking, "I have to go to the gym," try, "I get to strengthen my body." This subtle shift transforms obligations into opportunities and makes good habits more attractive.
Human behavior follows the law of least effort. We naturally gravitate toward the option requiring the least amount of work. This isn't laziness, it's an evolutionary adaptation that conserved energy when resources were scarce. To leverage this tendency, reduce friction for habits you want and increase friction for habits you want to avoid. Make good habits so easy you can't say no, and bad habits so difficult you don't even consider them. The 2-minute rule exemplifies this approach. When starting a new habit, it should take less than 2 minutes to do. Want to read more books? Read just one page. Want to run a marathon? Put on your running shoes. These gateway habits lead naturally to the full behavior once you've started. This isn't about doing less, it's about removing barriers to starting. Once you begin, continuing becomes much easier due to what psychologists call the commitment and consistency bias, our tendency to remain consistent with actions we've already initiated. For habits you want to eliminate, add friction. Want to watch less television? Unplug it after each use and store the remote in a drawer. Want to reduce social media? Log out after each session and use a complex password. The ultimate form of making habits easy is automation. Set up automatic transfers to savings accounts, use website blockers during work hours, or prepare healthy meals in advance. These one-time actions create lasting behavior change without requiring ongoing willpower.
Remember, the best way to break a bad habit is to make it impractical to do. Increase the friction until you don't even have the option to act.
Our brains evolved in an immediate return environment where actions produced clear and instant results. Hunt, eat, survive. But modern life operates in a delayed return environment where we work for years before career advancement or save for decades before retirement. This creates a fundamental mismatch between our evolutionary wiring and our current reality. Good habits often have immediate costs, discomfort, effort, and delayed rewards, while bad habits typically offer immediate rewards and delayed costs. To overcome this mismatch, add immediate rewards to good habits.
After exercising, enjoy a protein smoothie you love. After saving money, transfer a small Fun Fund amount for guilt-free spending. These immediate rewards bridge the gap between short-term enjoyment and long-term goals. The most effective immediate reward is tracking your habits. Using a habit tracker, whether a simple calendar where you mark completed days or a digital app, provides visual proof of your progress. This satisfies our desire for immediate feedback and creates a sense of accomplishment that reinforces the behavior. When you inevitably miss a day, and everyone does, follow the never miss twice rule. One missed workout is an accident. Two is the start of a new habit. By immediately getting back on track, you prevent a momentary slip from becoming a permanent slide.
Remember that what gets measured gets managed, but be careful about what you measure. Focus on metrics that directly indicate progress toward your ultimate concern rather than proxies that might lead you astray.
We are social creatures who evolved to care deeply about how others perceive us. This makes public accountability a powerful tool for habit formation. When we know someone is watching, we behave differently. A commitment contract leverages this tendency by making the cost of failure public. For example, you might tell friends you'll donate $100 to a cause you dislike if you miss your habit 3 days in a row. These contracts work because they make the cost of breaking a good habit or indulging in a bad one immediate and painful, rather than distant and theoretical. The most effective commitment is joining a culture where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. When surrounded by people who read regularly, exercise daily, or save diligently, these behaviors begin to seem ordinary rather than exceptional. The shared expectations of the group exert a powerful influence on your actions. This explains why the friends we choose dramatically shape our behavior over time. As the saying goes, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Choose your communities wisely, as they will normalize certain behaviors and make them seem more attractive and achievable. Even online communities can serve this purpose. Finding people with similar goals, whether through social media groups, forums, or apps, provides both accountability and inspiration. Seeing others succeed makes your own success seem more possible.
Habits are necessary, but not sufficient for mastery. As behaviors become automatic, they also become less susceptible to feedback and improvement. This is the downside of habits. They can lead to complacency. To achieve true excellence, combine habits with deliberate practice. While habits create reliable systems, deliberate practice focuses attention on specific areas for improvement. This requires a delicate balance between automaticity and awareness. The Goldilocks rule states that humans experience peak motivation when working on tasks of just manageable difficulty, not too hard, not too easy. This sweet spot keeps us engaged and growing. When habits become too easy, they become boring. When challenges seem too difficult, they become discouraging. To maintain this balance, implement a system of reflection and review. Professional athletes review game footage, writers join critique groups, and businesses conduct quarterly reviews. These practices prevent stagnation by identifying areas for improvement. A simple approach is to perform an integrity report, asking three questions. 1. What are the core values that drive my life and work? 2. How am I living and working with integrity right now? 3. How can I set a higher standard in the future?
Another effective technique is an annual review, where you reflect on what went well, what didn't, and how you can improve. These reflective practices ensure that your habits remain aligned with your goals and continue to evolve as you grow.
Not all habits are equally easy for all people. Your genetic makeup influences which activities come naturally to you and which require more effort. Research in behavioral genetics suggests that between 40 to 60% of our tendencies and predispositions are inherited. Understanding your natural inclinations helps you select habits that play to your strengths, making sustainable behavior change more achievable. This doesn't mean avoiding challenges or blaming genetics for failures. Rather, it means being strategic about where you invest your energy. If you're naturally tall and athletic, basketball might be a more rewarding fitness habit than long-distance running. If you're analytically minded, reading scientific literature might be more engaging than fiction. Consider how different people excel in different environments. Some thrive in high-pressure situations, while others perform better with methodical, steady work. The key is to explore widely at first, then exploit the areas where you show promise. This two-phase approach, exploration followed by specialization, mirrors successful strategies in nature and business. During the exploration phase, try various activities and note which ones feel naturally engaging, show rapid improvement with practice, leave you energized rather than drained, and receive positive feedback from others.
This approach maximizes your chances of finding what psychologists call flow, that state of peak performance where challenge and ability perfectly match. Flow states occur most frequently when we're operating at the edge of our capabilities in areas where we have natural aptitude. Research shows that people who regularly experience flow are significantly more likely to report high life satisfaction and achieve expertise in their chosen fields. When you can't find a game where you have natural advantages, create one. Combine different skills where you have moderate abilities to create a unique niche where you can excel. This explains why many successful entrepreneurs aren't the best at any single skill, but combine several skills in valuable ways. For example, a moderately good programmer with excellent communication skills might excel as a technical project manager. Someone with average artistic ability but strong marketing instincts might succeed as a commercial designer. A person with decent writing skills and good business sense might become a successful content marketer. The concept of skill stacking, popularized by Scott Adams, suggests that becoming exceptional at combining common skills can be more valuable than being extraordinary at one thing. This strategy allows you to create a unique value proposition that others can't easily replicate.
Remember that genes don't determine your destiny. They determine your areas of opportunity. By aligning your habits with your natural abilities, you make success more likely and the journey more enjoyable. This alignment reduces the amount of willpower needed to maintain good habits and increases the likelihood of long-term commitment. The key is to work with your natural tendencies rather than constantly fighting against them. Consider keeping a personal advantage inventory where you document activities that energize you, skills that you learn quickly, environments where you perform best, types of problems you naturally enjoy solving. This self-awareness becomes a powerful tool for designing habits and choosing career paths that maximize your natural strengths while minimizing your weaknesses.
Ultimately, habits are not about having something. They're about becoming someone. The real value of habits lies not in what they help you achieve, but in who they help you become. As you build better systems and establish more effective routines, periodically step back and ask whether your habits are serving your deeper purpose. It's easy to optimize for efficiency while losing sight of effectiveness, doing things well, but not doing the right things. The most meaningful habits connect to your values and identity. They aren't just about productivity or achievement, but about living with integrity and purpose. The habits that stick are those aligned with who you truly want to be. Remember that habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. Small changes, consistently applied, yield remarkable results over time. The difference a tiny improvement can make over time is astounding, just as the difference a tiny mistake can make is equally significant. Your life today is essentially the sum of your habits. How in shape or out of shape you are, a result of your habits. How happy or unhappy you are, a result of your habits. How successful or unsuccessful you are, a result of your habits. What you repeatedly do ultimately forms not only your results, but your future self. The question to ask is not what do I want to achieve, but who do I wish to become? Answer that question, and you'll know exactly which habits to cultivate.